This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Into the happy hour, we roll. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by B-Dubs, Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football. Does anybody else get freaked out by the talking buffalo with wings on the commercial? It seems like he's a little... That would be a good horror
movie
character.
We're going to do our countdown here in 20 minutes.
That's
you might
yours?
Get a mention.
Is that your number one, Tony?
When you hear the category, you'll laugh at that.
I think he fits with Jason Kelsey. Like, he's Jason Kelsey's, like, the, you know, the bad.
He does kind of,
devil on his shoulder.
Yeah.
He's kind of like that,
Is this a good time for Tony Bennett?
First, Chris's Disneyland hat.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, the guy who wrote in, he's right. Go with somebody who broke their leg.
Straight to the front.
They'll put the person in a wheelchair, because they can't crutch their way around Disneyland.
Yep.
And wheelchairs are, at least from what I recall, are taken to the front of the line as they're not going to leave the rest of the group behind. So you all get to go to the front of the line endlessly.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a
loophole that has been closed or not, but... You know, in my experience, I was like, man, this is great.
It was, because my dad has terrible back stuff going on, and so we had to get one of those little scooters. And so we did that one time, and I definitely felt bad because I was taking advantage of the system, and people were giving me the stink eye about skipping the line.
Do you feel bad when you're sitting in first class on an airplane?
No, because I paid for it.
Maybe you didn't.
See, if you pay that $400, you pay for it, you don't have to feel bad. You just walk right by.
Standing in line
sometimes. Nobody enjoys standing
Stop it. 45 minutes.
I like the ambiance.
The first ride when you're still excited. By the time you've walked through the first line, the second line sucks, and it just gets worse from that point.
I'm a Disneyland scheduling machine. You got to look at the app. You got to see which rides are wait times. Then you make your plan around the park. And then you keep some.
Most of the rides are long wait times.
Yes.
I mean, you're deciding between an hour and 10 minutes and an hour and 40 minutes.
Exactly.
Neither is acceptable.
They did get rid of that now. They tell you to come back at a certain time. So still kind of works, the whole wheelchair thing.
Oh, they'll tell the whole party, come back at this time and then we'll let you in?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's what I'd be
told by Jaffe.
Thank you, Jaffe.
Is that my man, Jaffe?
Your guy.
Shout out to Aaron Jaffe.
Very good. 11-6 is still the score. I want to say Dave Roberts is punting this game, though. He's had Honeywell in since the third inning. And Honeywell's still in. He just doesn't want to use any of his other relievers.
I think
relievers,
that's exactly right. We saw him leave Flaherty in there way longer than he probably would have.
Flaherty gave up 8 runs.
Yeah.
Honeywell's given up 3 more.
He's playing this probably the right way. It looks weird right now because his team is making it closer, so it looks like, why aren't you trying to stop the bleeding? But
the bleeding is not stopping either. The Mets are about to score more runs, it looks like.
All right, let's talk Tony Bennett. We've been talking about this all day. In case you didn't know, Tony Bennett, former head basketball coach of Virginia, stepped down today. And I'll just read you a little bit of what he said, because it came out of nowhere. No one was expecting this. He said, "The hardest thing to say is when I looked at myself and I realized I'm no longer the best coach to lead this program in the current environment. If you're going to do it, you got to be all in. If you do it half-hearted, it's not fair for the university or those young men. So in looking at that, that's what made me step down." Bennett has long bemoaned the direction of college athletics and increased emphasis on transfer portal and name and image and likeness. He goes on to say, I think it's right for student athletes to receive revenue. Please don't mistake me. The game and college athletics is not in a healthy spot. It's not. And there's no, and there's needs to be change, and it's not going to go back. I think I was equipped to do the job here the old way. That's who I am. It's going to be closer to a professional model. That's got to be collective bargaining. There's got to be collective bargaining. There has to be a restriction on the salary pool. There has to be transfer regulation restrictions. There has to be some limits on the agent involved to these young guys. And I worry a lot about the mental health of the student athlete as all this stuff comes down. And we've been talking about this for quite some time. And Scraby kind of posed a question to Chris and I when we walked in. I mean, this has connecting tissue of the last few coaches that it seems like have stepped down. Nick Saban's the one that comes to mind immediately because he retired literally at the top of the mountain. Like he was in a cozy spot in Alabama. They were winning every year or coming close to winning every year. And he walked away and he didn't use these exact words, but it was along these same lines, Chris.
Well, critics of Nick Saban say that he walked away because of these rules, he no longer got every single player he wanted.
Or the control that he
liked. But I don't think it's that sinister.
No,
I think he walked away because he really didn't like where the sport was headed. And I think Tony Bennett did the same thing. And honestly, I don't know, you know, how many more coaches it's going to take before somebody sits down and says, we got to figure out a way to put some regulations on this. But having said all of that, there's one criticism of Tony Bennett that I was talking to my buddy Ben Pearson about today.
Can I guess?
Sure.
He left the university high and dry?
He did. I mean, did he not know any of this at the end of last season?
I thought about the same
thing. When he could have gotten out of there and given somebody a chance to come in for the program, he leaves practically 2 weeks before the season is starting. And from what I understand, all of the players on that Virginia team, because he quit, basically, and he did, they all have 30 days to go find somewhere else to play if they'd like to. So he really shoved it to the school in making this announcement at this time.
I mean, I want to see.
It's just another angle of it, Tony.
I mean, it makes sense. I get it. I want to see. I feel like Virginia did not have a very good record last year.
I don't remember.
And you know, you start to wonder how he felt like it was affecting him as a coach. Clearly, he felt ineffective in how this was going down. I believe it was a step back for Virginia last year.
Well, they the other
taking
thing
me a little bit.
Yeah, I have it. You're a little slower than the
I wrote Virginia basketball average bear
19-15 Tony.
Yeah,
finished right at, or no, that's Virginia Tech.
No, he went 23-11 last year.
They finished third in the league. But you know, Elijah Saunders, by the way, transferred from San Diego State. So apparently, he's one of the guys that could leave here in the next 30 days. But Tony Bennett, with the timing of it, it's hard for me to comment totally on. I'm way out here. But I just hope that the NCAA turns this around and gets it right. It's having a lot of far-reaching consequences.
It is.
And I think coaches are going to get to the point, if they're not there already, where if they get a recruit, and that recruit is ready to play football, isn't ready to play, same with basketball, they may have to play these people just so they don't transfer and leave the program at the end of the year.
And that's not a great way to be coaching.
That's not the way you should be coaching. No. The playing time should go to the people who deserve it, not the people you don't want to lose. This is another aspect that I don't think anybody thought about when they started letting all of this stuff happen.
I think the other aspect that I don't think we think about often is you know, in terms of the student athlete getting paid right now, how does that help them in terms of elevating their game even more? I mean, I would imagine if you handed me, you know, $1.6 million in NIL at the age of 18, my drive to get to the end goal, becomes less, I would think.
A lot of people might just stop right there. That's a lot of money. It's not as life-changing as it once was, but it's still a pretty good amount. Your drive has got to be lessened somewhat. I think there's so many negative consequences to all of this, but I totally want players to get paid for their name, image, and likeness. That was the idea in the first place. But they're not getting paid for that, really, Tony. They're just getting paid to show up.
Yeah, no, there is going to have to be a collective bargaining process at some point. I think all of the things he talked about, the restriction on the salary pool, in terms of, because that's really the only way you're going to somewhat even the playing field, is by limiting the amount you can spend, right? Because the Power Fours are going to be able to do a whole lot more than everybody else is going to be doing.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one? He said the transfer regulation. I know they're working on that part right now, but it seems like there's a long way to go and like no ground game.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I would collectively bargain if I was on the player side of that. I would require that all coaches have to sit out a year if they quit their job. And then we'll go ahead and sit out a year when we transfer.
I'm all for
that. Seems something like you could collectively side.
You could probably push to at least have to sit out until your contract ends on the other end. You're still getting paid.
Tony Bennett could honestly go tomorrow and become the coach of Cal State Northridge, for all I know.
Yep, he sure
and
could.
And leave everybody completely in a lurch.
So. Nate on the chat said maybe he was trying to stick it or an axe to grind with the AD or a fundraiser person.
Potentially, but I don't think he'd want to give up his job for that.
Like his job ain't paying him a nice little chunk of change, too. That's not an easy thing to walk away from.
It probably became just untenable for him any longer. So, but it is interesting. I mean, teams are getting players. We talked to Ziegler earlier about the Aztec men's team. Not only does nobody know how good they're going to be this year, but there's no way of knowing how any of the teams are going to be in the league, because practically every team is brand new from a year ago.
Yeah.
One of the great beauties to me of college sports, back on my soapbox in the lawn.
If I could turn back time.
I was thinking but he didn't mention history.
But it's not quite there. But to me, one of the beauties is,
don't ask me why my mind works the way it does. I have no idea.
I don't. But I think it was fun meeting a player as a freshman. Watching maybe get off the bench as a sophomore, watching them really start to star as a junior, and then really getting the glory when they're a senior.
Yeah.
And then they leave, and then you wait for the next couple of guys to come along. That's part of the beauty of following college sports, and nobody can do that anymore.
No.
So that's too bad.
High school football popping here in San Diego tonight.
Glad you brought it up.
Big time matchup. Lincoln Cathedral, I believe it's at Cathedral tonight.
It is.
Number one versus number two. I think Scraby's
Go Lincoln. Go Lincoln.
Why?
You want
Just
Lincoln
because Braden.
Nah, you're rooting against Braden, your guy.
No, of course
not. Come on,
not.
Man. Of course not. Of course you are.
Either way, it should be a good matchup. I think La Costa Canyon's playing Mission Hills, another North County top dog matchup. There was another one Braden told me before he left, but I can't. I think it's Granite and
Mount McGill. In the East County. Big powers in the East.
And then you got a Scripps matchup. I can't remember.
Didn't remember that opponent, but there's really good games tonight.
Yeah.
So go see a high school football game.
How many games do they play in high school now?
I don't know. For those of you guys wondering, we typically do a few shows at the high school. It just hasn't worked out this year because the Padres play kind of deep this year, and so there's only 2 weeks left, and I don't know if we can put anything together that fast. So,
because I remember the football season when I was playing in high school being so long, but it's actually not that long in high school.
That's because you're getting your head cracked in practice every day, too.
Scout team hero over here.
Made it even longer, I'm sure.
Just like, oh my gosh, my head hurts. game, it was like, I'm not going to get hit today.
He's like, I'm sitting here with this helmet in my hand. All right, let's get to break. On the other side, the countdown is finally here. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, a lot to get to in this 5:20 is the time. So, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. It's over in Flushing, New York. The Mets pile up enough runs to hold off the Dodgers. 12-6, the final. New York still trails that series 3-2. Game 6 will be Sunday in Los Angeles. Meanwhile, Yankees, top of the first inning. Scraby, what's the worst thing that could happen for people like you and I?
I don't know. Tony requested this.
3-2. Soto, high, towering fly ball right center. And this one is going to fly out of here. And the Yankees strike quickly tonight.
2-0 on the Juan Soto home run to the delight of absolutely no one except Tony.
I am hating.
Yankees lead that series 2-1. Guardians hoping to get even tonight, but they're going to have to come from behind. We also got a really good question on the chat, and we'll answer it in the next segment.
Stay there, Maddie.
Maddie asked it, and we invite everybody, by the way, if you haven't gone to the chat, YouTube, and looked it up, or, you know, the YouTube,
go to YouTube
coverage,
search
right,
97.3 The
right.
Fan.
And then make sure you like it.
Yes,
that
like
helps
the,
us immensely.
The page, the actual
like the page.
Page. Yes.
And then get into the show that way, because
yes,
a lot of people do that, mm-hmm, and we appreciate all of them being with us. Now let's do our Friday countdown.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we've got to give you a category. It is October. We're getting late. We got 2 weeks till Halloween. So today's category: who are the scariest movie characters that have frightened you as not only a youth, but at any time? Your five most scary movie characters.
This was really hard for me.
What? I mean, you've seen 18 billion scary movies.
Yeah, I mean,
how many
yes
do you have? Like 50 that you had to narrow it down
look
from?
I've crossed out like several times, and I've done some arrows. This one's actually 4, not 2.
Right.
So,
number five.
Tony, picking you today.
You want me to go first here?
Yeah,
huh?
Why not?
All right, we'll start with the doll, Chucky.
Chucky?
Ah!
He's
the Chuckster.
Chucksters.
You close your eyes and you can picture him right now.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a little bit of a freaky
this
thing.
This guy, this thing is
he was bad
is
news,
diabolical.
Man. Bad news.
Diabolical. He goes places where I think dolls shouldn't go.
Well, I mean, he also like does things that dolls shouldn't do.
Right, he's possessed. He certainly is running up and down with his little steps in your hallway,
yeah,
as he's coming to stab you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chucky Child's Play was at the, is was one of the ones that got me early.
Yeah. That was epic.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go second. We'll save you for last, Grabby. My number five is not in the running in anyone's list except for mine. The character's name was Whitey Jackson, and the movie was Foul Play, a romantic comedy with Chevy Chase and Goldie Hawn.
We did the scariest movies, right?
It was a romantic comedy.
No, I said scary character. Whitey Jackson
See, he
was
took this in his own direction.
You know, you said characters. Does, maybe. You said characters. Whitey Jackson was just such a frightening-looking hitman in that particular movie. And if you call up a picture of, go to Foul Play and call up Whitey Jackson, you'll see what I mean. And he appeared suddenly in a scene one time, like jumped out of a closet or out of a corner, startling everybody and startling my 11-year-old stepsister so much that she dumped an entire tub of Coca-Cola on me. She was so frightened by his appearance. All I'll right, never
I
forget
see
that.
It. He's kind of creepy looking.
He's very creepy looking. Whitey Jackson from Foul Play.
He's got like white eyeballs.
Yeah, it's a scary look, I'm telling you, and I will always remember that.
Oh, okay.
All never right. seen anybody dump a Coke on me before until then.
My number five is, I kind of did my list as things that scared me as a kid, because not really many movies scare me now, but my number five, one of my first rated R movies I ever saw was Terminator 2. And the cop.
Ooh, yeah.
The
yeah.
cop who was able to morph into everything. And, like, that scared me so much because I was, like, 9 years old when that movie came out. I snuck it behind my parents' back. And I was terrified of the cop from Terminator 2. Like, turning into liquid and coming into my room under the door or something like that. Oof. Like, ugh. Ugh.
Number four.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay. Number four, Tony.
Pinhead. For those who don't know who Pinhead is, if you go watch the
his
movie,
name is pretty funny.
Hellraiser.
I just watched Hellraiser. I just watched it 2 days ago. Yeah. 3 days ago.
It's not so scary as an adult, but as a kid, definitely watching Hellraiser when this dude with needles all in his face,
yeah,
aka Pinhead,
yeah,
it'll throw you for a loop.
Yeah, it sure. will. It will. It's kind of weird because his, like, goon squad that he has with him, they're all creepy looking.
Super creepy looking.
But Pinhead is the only one that really talks, and he's the leader of
he's
everybody.
The most intelligent of the yes. of the crew. But he has pins in his face.
Yeah, and he just wants to kill you. That's all. Chris?
Number four for me, Regan McNeil.
Ah.
You know who Regan McNeil is?
Yes. Yeah, give it to me. I don't
know
Regan.
The Exorcist. Oh, yeah. Linda Blair played the character. She was a 12-year-old kid. The original came out. I was not prepared to see a movie that scary at that age. So she freaked me out. Her head turned all the way around one time.
I think
she was constantly vomiting all over herself.
The demon in her, I believe, was Pazuzu.
Oh, Pazuzu I is think correct, you're right. Tony. Yes. Yeah. I didn't even say that because I didn't think anybody would know
Pazuzu.
That.
Yeah, you know, one thing I don't do is head spinning. So I got to know all the information about that.
Yeah, and Pazuzu. Reagan was the Antichrist invaded her body and turned her into this awful. And then
King
the,
of Demons.
Right, and somebody had to come and perform the exorcism to get the demon out. The very, very scary movie for its time and probably still scary now.
I'm just going to tell you, that's my number four, too.
Really? Reagan.
Yeah, it's super scary. And if you've ever watched anything about the making of that movie, like, the director was hardcore. Like, at the end, when there's a part where the priest is, like, doing the cross over someone and his hand shaking, it's because the director didn't like any of the takes, walked right up to him, slapped him across the face, and said, do it. And William the guy was, like, shaking because he was so
pissed, probably. Yeah, like, I wanted to strangle
William Friedkin was the name of that director.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about slapping actors to get them in. And Vince Vaughn did the same thing to Snoop Dogg in what was it, Huggy, when he played Huggy Bear. And
did Snoop Dogg freak out?
He said he had to catch himself.
Yeah.
He had to catch himself.
Getting slapped is embarrassing.
Vince Vaughn died on the set today in a movie when Snoop Dogg.
He slapped him.
Punched him out.
Real quick, Gwen and Chris is brought to you by the roofing professionals at Extreme Roofing of San Diego. Mother Nature is unpredictable, and so is the San Diego rain. Don't wait till your roof suffers damage. Call Extreme Roofing of San Diego to prepare your investment from catastrophe. Schedule your roof inspection now, 619-334-ROOF, or online at extremeroofs.com.
Number
3.
By the way, Exorcist, look at pictures of Linda Blair, even today, from that movie. This is the early 70s. The makeup was incredible.
Yeah, it was.
To make her look as awful as she looked.
She had her head spun the wrong way and was crawling on the ceiling. That is just not it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Number 3, Tony.
Candyman.
Ooh, this was on the list.
You know, Candyman was, you know, you couldn't say his name 3 times. I've already said it twice, so I won't say it again.
Oh, good job. Thank you.
It is, you know, I remember going, first time I went to New Orleans as a ball player, a lot of the, and I think that's where the setting is in, like, Louisiana, somewhere down south. But a lot of the houses that, you know, we would drive by reminded me so much of Candyman. Good flick, too, by the way. Scary character. Had a bunch of bees on his face.
Yeah.
He was a bad man.
Ugh. The bees in the mouth? Yeah. Gross. Disgusting.
He was swallowing them, like eating them.
Yeah. I like Candyman, but I don't think he'd stand a chance against my number 3.
Oh, who's that?
Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, he might eat him.
Hannibal, I mean,
but
this,
Candyman is like a mythical person.
He's got mythical powers. Yeah. Hannibal Lecter, for just a straight up human being.
Just he's crazy. Evil.
The pretty most evil person of all time. Anthony Hopkins' portrayal of him was incredible. And this picture with the brown half face mask the bars in front of his lips.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That freaks me out every single time.
His mouth is a weapon.
When, spoiler alert, everybody, when he's in the ambulance at the end and they're figuring out what happened and he peels the guy's face off.
Yes, and plus his delivery of the fava bean line is, you know,
all time.
An all time.
All time.
Chianti and fava bean.
Yeah. That is brilliant. Brilliant acting.
You know that wasn't written in the script. That was probably on his own.
He did it.
It's really creepy.
A deranged actor to come up with that.
You do. My number 3 is actually from Silence of the Lambs, but it's Buffalo Bill, another movie that I watched way too young.
That's the character they're actually trying to help the police
FBI
girl catch that character.
Clarice Starling. Hello, Clarice.
Yes.
But Buffalo Bill in front of the mirror dancing while something is tucked is one of the creepiest things I think I've ever seen in my entire life. And then the whole well thing, put the lotion on his skin or else he gets a hose again. Oh, God, I saw that way too young.
All right.
Silence of the Lambs
also won the Academy Award that year for Best Picture.
Should have.
It was. All right, number 2, Tony.
Samara Morgan. Yeah, you guys may not know.
You don't have me on that one.
The Ring.
Oh, yeah. The girl comes out of the well?
With the black hair over her face.
Oh, no.
I'm cool.
She was like
getting closer without actually taking steps. That was just The Ring messed me up for a little bit.
Have you seen the original Japanese version, Ringu?
I have not.
Okay, it's even scarier.
Think it's scarier?
It is.
Who was the Ring lady? Naomi Watts?
Yeah, she was in there.
She was trying to protect her family.
Yeah, but that is scary. That is really scary, actually.
Sadako Yamamura is the character in the original one.
And Ringu?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should watch Ringu. It's good.
I'm good.
Number 2 for me, even a little more frightening than Hannibal Lecter because he was born before Hannibal, and is Norman Bates.
Okay.
Yeah. Psycho.
Yeah. I thought about Norman.
Norman's Anthony Perkins played the character in the Alfred Hitchcock movie. But Psycho, I mean, that's a word that stands the test of time.
Yep.
This is 60 years after that movie came out. You want to call somebody weird and crazy, you call him a psycho because of that character.
And when you find out what you find out, the twist is terrifying.
It is pretty terrifying.
And I can only imagine, I would love to go back and see some of these movies in the time that they came out because they were probably so scary when they came out.
I think. And Alfred Hitchcock was pretty good at being suspenseful.
Rod said on the chat, Buffalo Bill is not an animal, Scraby. Still mad about
that
one.
Thank you, Rob.
Still mad about that one. All right, my number 2 is the Blair Witch Witch.
The Blair Witch
movie, when it came out, people thought it was real. People thought this was actually found footage because this is pre-internet for the most part. They could say whatever they wanted.
The way
they really
filmed
prove it,
Tad is convinced that it was real.
Yes, it was a low-budget movie, but that movie freaked me out. I had trouble sleeping for, I'm not kidding, months after that movie. Yes, wow. It was so scary.
Interesting.
But Blair Witch Witch is my number two.
Number one.
Tony, for the title.
This can't be a number one list without Pennywise at the top of it.
Yes.
My Pennywise. Guy has the George Jefferson haircut, only in clown version. Sharp teeth.
The George Jefferson haircut.
Lives in the freaking gutter.
This is the movie It. Am I correct?
Yes.
The original It.
I mean, the original, the new ones, they all messed up. I don't do clowns at all.
You're not going to want to come to our neighborhood for Halloween because one of my neighbors, Ryan, who I've mentioned on the show before, dresses up as Pennywise.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
And scares all the kids in the neighborhood who come around.
Yeah. There's nothing exciting about a clown with a George Jefferson haircut.
Yeah,
he is scary looking.
George Jefferson.
All right, I'm going to come under some heat for this, but there's only one character in a movie that has scared me when it happened, scared me the next day, the next month, and still to this day causes me to be uncomfortable when I go in the ocean.
Jaws.
And that's Jaws.
Yeah.
I knew this
and
was
I don't
be
know. I think there's going to be an argument, but Jaws has lasted the longest for me. I still hum the theme when I go into the water in the ocean.
I don't get in the water because of Jaws. So this should have been my number one.
Why do you hum the Jaws theme as you're in the ocean?
Because I'm freaking about the shark, man. It still gets me today.
Yeah.
That's why I know, but it's not an actual person, but I went with Jaws. Who'd you go with, Scrape?
You have to give a number one, buddy.
What about yours?
I already gave you the first one. Oh, anyway,
what am I doing? Yeah. Number one, Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy Krueger.
Freddy takes the title.
The knife hands and getting in your dreams and not
see,
being able
to
sleep.
See, that's the thing. If you had a good imagination, you didn't have to be scared of Freddy.
Because
if you could control your dreams, he didn't stand a chance. He was all in your head. So you had to have a good imagination.
Yeah.
Put him up against some tough foes in your head.
I mean, I get it, but it didn't work.
Who won the showdown between Freddy and Jason? Or did they end up just working together?
I mean, they're probably just... I don't remember, actually. It's been a long time
since I've
seen Freddy versus
Jason. I feel like it was
Freddy
Jason was the winner. Chat, help us out. I know y'all
Freddy
see it,
is
chat.
Like... I mean, they're both made-up people. So, Media Melanie, who's on with Annie and Elston.
I know Mel.
Oh, TV show-wise, Evil on Paramount Plus. Tony and I love that show.
She's bringing that up because we talked about it before.
Oh, okay. That show is great. Evil.
Awesome.
Evil.
I'm actually watching the last season right now. I've been told.
I need to start.
I've been told that it might get picked up on Netflix. To continue.
Let's hope, because it's amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
How many seasons is it?
I think it's only like three or four.
It was four. Right. This
I'll
was
wait
four.
For Netflix. All right, that's going to do that. I hope everybody enjoyed.
Cold water on Evil.
I don't mean to.
It's good. It's a good
I'll
show.
I'll watch it. But we got to take a break. Yankees added a home run by Austin Wells.
Oh, your starter from yesterday, you won it.
3-1 in the second inning. More Gwen and Chris.
5:42 on the clock, last segment in the happy hour before we get to our interview of the day. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. B-dubs, Buffalo Wild Wings is football. All right, we got a YouTube question before we get into Mark Ziegler. Scraby.
Yes, the YouTube question came from Maddie, and Maddie said they signed up just to ask this question, so we thought we should answer it. But they were talking about the college sports and how it's hard to recruit a player that's really good because they might leave school for a better deal after the first year they're there or something. But Maddie says, what if these changes in college sports leads to coaches not chasing the next big thing anymore, which means departments and coaches are going to end up investing their players for more than just 1 or 2 years? Basically saying, is it more beneficial to go after guys that are not as highly rated coming out of high school so that they do stay with the school?
I guess in a perfect world, yeah. But those 5-star guys and those high 4s are still going to be recruited somewhere else. And yeah, you might be able to recruit a bunch of, 3 stars and develop, but even those kids in today's day and age, they got some value too. And if you can't meet that, and let's say, here's the other thing that happens, right? You go out, you get a 3-star kid, you develop him, and in his junior year, after you've developed him to a point where he is, really good, they can bounce and,
still leave.
And leave. And so, you know, I think all of it needs to be fixed, including coaches just dipping out when they want to. But I just think we're a long ways away from it. I think it's really hard because I my guess is that when NCAA comes up with a rule, they're probably going to get sued, and they're going to have to go through litigation, and then they're going to have to figure out if it's – there's just – it's a mess. I think Tony Bennett basically said it best.
To answer the question, I would say that I've dreamed of this my entire life because I was nowhere near a five-star or even a four-star player if they had such a thing. I was that three-star who worked really hard, and I wish that all of us were given the great opportunity ahead of those who just had the God-given talent and didn't have to work as hard. But guess what? Never once worked that way. And the guys in the five-star and the four-star got better opportunities and more opportunities. And as I've grown older and understanding, I see why. These guys help you win games. There's very few coaches that are going to take that strategy and avoid getting the best possible players they can.
Because, by the way, the coaches are on time clocks, too. If you don't get winning teams,
if you don't
win
now,
you get fired.
Yeah, they're not waiting around too long anymore. There's a few coaches out there, you know, that are comfortable. Not a lot.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
All right. Yeah. I mean, honestly, what are you going to do? If the five-star recruit is all of the, SEC schools, Big 12, Big 10, they all say no, somebody in the AAC is going to say, hey, we can't ever
come
get a guy like
down.
That. Come on down. Absolutely.
All right, let's get to our interview of the day. First, there's some traffic.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Vicki Pepper.
This report brought to you by Ulta Beauty. 5 North at Via Day, a disabled vehicle in the center divider. The Emerald City came to Ulta Beauty with wicked collaborations from R.E.M. Beauty by Ariana Grande, It Brushes for Ulta, and OPI. Hurry in. These fantabulous products won't last long. See Wicked November 22nd only in theaters. Ulta Beauty. The possibilities are beautiful. I'm Vicki Pepper with Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Mark Ziegler's with us. You know, all that said, Mark, I think that Brian Dutcher, you know, with what he's accomplished, you know, gives all of us, you know, a very confident feeling coming into any season that he is going to figure it out. He's going to get the best out of this group, and they're going to, you know, improve like, you know, Brian Dutcher and Steve Fisher teams before that always improved throughout the season. What do you think his secret sauce is to being able to do that consistently?
That's pretty simple, and it's that they don't panic. You know, Steve Fisher, they used to talk about, he was at his best, and Dutch used to talk to me about that when he was an assistant. He would, you know, they'd lose a game or two, and he'd say, watch how he acts. He's so good in these situations. He doesn't panic. He doesn't let one loss become two, two losses become three, because you don't dwell on it. You move on. It's always next play. And there's just sort of a patience and an even keel. And that allows teams to progress on the floor and get better. They're never looking in the rearview mirror. They're not afraid to make mistakes. And, you know, they just sort of quietly learn from them. You know, in the game, they don't harp on mistakes. They might look at them in film the next day, but they move on. And I think players appreciate that. You know, players don't want to be on a knife edge, wondering if their coach is going to scream at them all the time. And so I think that kind of allows them to just get better day by day, minute by minute, practice by practice. And so that's good to have, and he'll have that patience with this group. But it's going to be interesting to see what the fans do. And, you know, they just raised ticket prices 20%. And they've been to a Sweet 16 and a national championship game the last 2 years. What happens if they open the season and they're 2-4, which they very well could be. If they don't beat a ranked team, they're probably going to be 2-4. In February, they probably could handle those games. I'm not sure they can handle them now. And so how will the rest of us deal with that? That'll be the interesting thing for me to see. I know how Dutch will deal with it.
That is certainly something to be thinking about. You know, the folks are a little less patient than they used to be, especially with all the success we've seen. Mark Ziegler joins us here, San Diego Union Tribune. All right, Mark, I have a bunch of questions. I hope you can kind of iron this out for us in terms of the lawsuit with the NCAA, how it affects San Diego State and these scholarships, and how if it even affects San Diego State at all. And then the NIL, or not the NIL, the National Letter of Intent rule that just changed. Could you kind of explain that in layman's terms for us?
Well, the National Letter of Intent is, I think they're just transitioning to the day, which is coming, whether it's next year or the year after. It should be one of those two, when they're actually the power conferences, not the Mountain West of the world, but the power conferences, which are only four of them now, are paying athletes. And when they're actually from the university cutting a check to an athlete, they have to have a different kind of letter of intent. The letter of intent now just says scholarship, has nothing about payment. So I think they got rid of it now because they're kind of in that transition period, and they'll replace it with something else, some more legalese. They basically send it back to the lawyers and say, write something else up that will be more binding and more of a contract. So that's what that's about. House settlement, you know, it doesn't directly affect a school like San Diego State because they don't, you know, they're not going to have these roster limits. They're not going to have these unlimited scholarships, at least to start with. But it does affect them indirectly because these power conference schools are going to be able to, A, pay athletes in addition probably to what they're getting in NIL, and B, they'll be able to have in many sports more scholarships if they want. And we'll see how they decide to approach that. I think in some sports, a big school may say, yeah, we're not really a national contender in softball, for example, so we're not going to have very many scholarships in that opportunities, and we'll just field the team and we'll be competitive and that'll be the end of it. But let's say you're really good at men's soccer. Well, all of a sudden you can go from, you know, 9.9 scholarships up to 24 or 20 or whatever the limit's going to be. You could get really good. And those four schools that are mid-majors are just going to get run over. And so there's going to be a little bit of that going on. So indirectly, I think it does affect a school like San Diego State because it'll be harder to compete with those top power conference schools because they're going to have so many advantages financially or with the number of scholarships.
Mark Ziegler joins us here, San Diego Union Tribune. And Mark, we had assistant coach Ryan Babertelli on a couple days ago, and he mentioned some of the new roles that guys are being asked. And one of the names he kept brought up was Reese Waters, who he said was going to be asked to do a little bit something different than he was last year. Do you have any idea what is going to be asked of him? Because looking at the roster, he seems to be the one that could be the go-to guy for the Aztecs offensively this year.
Yeah, I got that sense too. In fact, he was at Media Day yesterday in Las Vegas, and I asked a question. I said, you know, last year you were obviously a very much of a Jaden Ledee-centric team. And even before that, they were kind of a Matt Bradley team, where they got the ball to him, late shot clock, got out of the way, guy could create his own shot. And that's kind of how Jaden was. And this year it's much more democratic. It's much more equal opportunity. They're playing multiple sides of the floor. I said, okay, I get that. But what happens late shot clock, late in the game, someone's got to take a shot. And Reese just stepped up and said, you know, I'd like to have the ball in my hands. And so I think that's the big difference is, you know, you all run your plays. Everyone runs their plays, but everyone scouts them and knows that they're coming. If you defend them right, they don't work.
Right.
And then it's what do you do on the back half of the play? And what do you do when the shot clock's under 8 seconds? Who gets the ball and who can create a shot? And Reese can do that. He has such a quick release. He's a big body. Long arms, athletic, high release on his jumper, great mid-range player. And I think he'll be getting the ball in those situations a lot of times. And I think that's going to be something that's, you know, last year he never had it in those situations because it was going to Jaden. So I think that's something they're looking to from him, and we'll see how that goes. He's a little banged up right now, so he's got to get healthy first. But he certainly has the skill. We saw that in the Gonzaga game last year when they won at Gonzaga. He was the best player on the floor.
We got 2 minutes left, Mark, and I have to ask about Magoon Gwath, because I think he seems to be the most intriguing player on the roster. There are those out there that I've seen tweet that are big basketball, you know, people, and they say this guy's going to be a household name in the Mountain West. He already seems like a fan favorite just because he's 7 feet and shoots threes. Coach didn't want to say too much about him the other day because he wants to make sure we talk about all the players. But is this guy, you know, anything close to what we hope maybe he could be?
He's certainly shown flashes of it. But, you know, people need to remember this is a redshirt freshman. who didn't play last year and didn't even practice half the year because he was coming off ankle surgery, pretty major ankle surgery. And the year before that, he was a little bit banged up in high school. And before that, he played at a smaller school in the Dallas area. And so he really hasn't played a lot of high-level basketball before. And what that means is, as talented as he is, as much upside as he is, he's going to be up and down this season. And he has been in practices and in the scrimmages. He's had these flashes where he just took over games. He got a rebound, and he led the break. And somebody, he passed ahead to somebody who missed a shot, and he flew in and got the tip dunk. And then he got a steal at midcourt and came back and hit a three. And, but then he disappeared for 5 or 10 minutes. And so I think people have to understand that he's going to be really good, but he's not going to be consistent. That's what young players usually are. And so they're going to have some patience with him. I think this is going to be an up-and-down year. If they're lucky enough to keep him next year, I think he'll be a monster in college basketball next year. But this year we'll see some flashes. And again, it goes back to the expectation question we were talking about earlier. If people have too high expectations for him, they're going to be disappointed. If they just come into it and say, look, this guy hasn't played very much, he's very raw, but everything he does is a positive, they'll be much more satisfied, I think, in the end.
Mark, thanks.
That's the that lucky word, that word at the end he used there. If they're able to keep it.
I know. That's why we got to change some stuff.
Yeah.
If we can.
That's going to do it for Gwen and Chris this week. Good first week back, gentlemen.
Great.
Off season is in full swing.
That Tuesday was rough, but after that we rebounded pretty nicely.
I don't know. Tuesday was the dude wipe day. I don't think I can ever forget it.
Listen, we'll check you guys next week. Back at it Monday. Enjoy your weekend.
Scraby Chronicles
next.
Coming up.
Yay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.